live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And good afternoon, everybody. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. I don't know what the heck that was, but hey, we're here. There we go. By the way, don't forget Braves baseball coming your way tonight. The chance for the Atlanta Braves to punch their ticket to a World Series has been way too long. 21 years, 22 seasons ago. They get to that magic number of 3 wins. Now just needing one more, up 3-1 on the Dodgers. A big, I loved it. But the fact that the interesting thing, as even the game was being played last night with the Braves exploding on the Dodgers, things that were trending on Twitter was what had happened the night before and how the Dodgers had just embarrassed the Braves, scoring the 11 runs in the top of the first. I was talking to some folks today about it. With regards to what the Braves were able to do when they hit the sixth spot in the bottom of the sixth. Go back to Tuesday night. They scored 6 runs over 2 innings, pulled away, had the big lead against the Dodgers. Yeah, the Dodgers made the comeback, but the Braves prevailed 8-7 to go up 2 games to none. I'd rather have 2 games with that kind of output than 1 game with 11 runs in an inning. Because last time I checked, you can't carry the runs over. It doesn't matter. Braves winning last night 10-2. And boy, what an outstanding night for both not only Freddie Freeman at first, but Marcell Ozuna. He came ready to go. 4 for 5, 3 runs, 4 runs driven in, a couple of home runs. Outstanding performance from him. And, oh, by the way, a double as well. And then Bryce Wilson. It's like, who's Bryce Wilson? I think everybody now knows who Bryce Wilson is. Getting his debut start in the postseason, went 6 innings, allowed just 1 hit. That was a home run. 1 walk, striking out 5. And then they turned things over to the bullpen. And that was the end of the story for the Dodgers. And tonight, they're going to just try to piece together a victory. A.J. Minter is going to get the start out of the bullpen. And, 2 innings here, 3 innings there. And then you get an inning or two from the relievers. And hopefully by the end of the night, it's a victory. And then if not, well, then guess who gets to pitch a Game 6? Max Fried. And if a Game 7 is necessary, hopefully we won't need tomorrow or Sunday, then Ian Anderson. But right now, tonight, going to try to find a way to piece together a victory. And then the Braves can then be thinking about next week, either taking on Tampa Bay or Houston. Tampa Bay trying to eliminate Houston. Houston is not going quietly into the night. Back-to-back nights of elimination games, and they found ways to get it. And so now here we are, Game 6 in the American League Championship Series. This will start, by the way, just after 5. First pitch around 5:07. Tampa Bay still needing 1 win, but Houston trying to force the Game 7, and we'll see how that all plays out. By the way, the Dodgers tonight, and you may not know his name, Dustin May. If you follow the Dodgers, you probably do, but otherwise, just remember, he's the one with the big hair. It's like he needs a bigger hat to keep all the hair underneath it, right? But he gets the start, the right-hander tonight for the Dodgers, and once again, the left-hander for the Braves, A.J. Minter. We'll see how it all plays out. As far as football is concerned, we're still waiting. Everybody assumed earlier this week when Nick Saban tested positive for COVID-19, was asymptomatic, no symptoms whatsoever. Well, now, he's gone through the protocol and been retested. It's been negative. And so now he's 1 negative test away from being able to coach in this game tomorrow against the Georgia Bulldogs. And the interesting thing, too, when you look at the line, and we'll be talking about this game with handicapper Lee Sterling coming up just after 5 with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, but it was up to 6.5. Now it's back to 4.5, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Even with that said, I think this is going to be a very tight game. I don't like the matchup. I love the way Georgia has played defense this year. I love what they were able to do and what they've been able to do as far as controlling the line. And the test for me will be if Alabama once again can have success running the ball. And look, they've got an incredible line, one of the top lines, if not the top offensive line in the country. Well, they certainly looked that part last week when you look at what Najee Harris was able to do going over 200 yards, 206 yards rushing, 5 touchdowns on the ground in that big win for Alabama against Ole Miss. But different story now with what they're going to be facing going up against the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. I think Georgia will keep this game close, actually. Would I be shocked to see Georgia go in there and win the game? No. It's going to come down. I think the game will be up in the air either way. The fact that Alabama's playing at home, I give them the slight edge. But any points at all over 3.5 are good for me, and that's why I kind of leaning towards Georgia as far as this game tomorrow night. So we'll see how it plays out. Interesting thing, too, Nick Saban, the record for victories against top 25 competition is 86. Joe Paterno has the record with 86. Number 3 on the list, Bobby Bowden with 82. Bear Bryant, 4th on the list with 66. And Steve Spurrier, 5th on the list with 64. But number 2, Nick Saban, he has 85. One more win away, and he'll have the opportunity coming up tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa to tie Joe Paterno's record for most victories ever against top 25 teams. He already has the record, speaking of Nick Saban, against top 5 competition. He's 24 wins already against top 5, and this is a matchup with number 2 Bama, number 3 Georgia, and even in the winning percentage, 24-14, 63% winning percentage in top 5 matchups. That's also the best ever winning percentage with regards against top 5. If just in case you're wondering, number 2 on the list, Bobby Bowden with 18 victories against top 5 teams. And then there's four coaches, and I should say former coaches now, 4 coaches tied for 3rd with 15. Barry Switzer, former Oklahoma head coach, Woody Hayes, the late Woody Hayes from Ohio State, Steve Spurrier, and then Lou Holtz, all with 15. So Nick Saban already has the record against top 5. He's looking to tie Joe Paterno with most wins ever as far as against top 25 teams. So you got that already this week. 2 games that were scheduled have been rescheduled because of COVID-19. Vanderbilt was slated to play Missouri this weekend, and so that was going to be a road trip to Columbia. That gets canceled because of an outbreak with Vanderbilt. They almost were facing the same situation last weekend as they were hosting South Carolina. So at this point, that game has been rescheduled until December 12th. And then LSU, Florida. This was after, you know, Florida's head coach Dan Mullen was talking about the fans being such a big factor in that Texas A&M victory last week. No, the lack of defense for Florida was the big factor, but you know, needless to say, so here's Dan Mullen. Hey, we need to open up the stadium. Give us ourselves an advantage against LSU. And then 3 days later, Florida shuts down their operations. And oh, by the way, the Florida-LSU game in Gainesville has been now postponed and rescheduled for later in the year. So that's 2 games. We're now up to 30 games, by the way, that have been canceled as far as college football FBS is concerned. So 30 games. In fact, we look at the Big 12. Oklahoma State was supposed to be in action this weekend against Baylor. That game gets shifted right now for December 12th, which now all of a sudden, you know, the Big 12 championship game, it's either scheduled for the 12th or 19th. But if Oklahoma State right now, a team that looks like is going to be one of those 2 teams, so most likely the Big 12 contest will be moved to the 19th, at the same weekend that you get the SEC as well. By the way, the Big 10 actually comes back into action next weekend. In fact, starting on Friday night, with a Wisconsin-Illinois game, but then a full slate of action coming up a week from tomorrow for the Big Ten. So slowly but surely, we're getting some of the other conferences that have been slow to the party. They're coming back. We're still some weeks away from the Pac-12 getting underway. They won't start up until November, but the Big Ten scheduled to get back in action coming up next weekend. Don't forget, like to invite you to join me tomorrow morning and each and every Saturday during the college football season with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. Each and every Saturday, not just top 25, but SEC. We have previews, interviews, and then starting with the 11 o'clock kickoffs, scoreboard updates as well. Been doing this since 2015. Love, you know, having a show on a Saturday, getting everybody pumped up for college football. And that's once again the case this year as well. And certainly like to invite you to check us out tomorrow. And big thanks to our sponsors making it possible for us to do that each and every Saturday. Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Braza Flooring, Casa of Nashville, and the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. And that's tomorrow morning from starting at 10 a.m. with our Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show. All right, coming up a little bit later this hour, Barrett Salee will join us, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. He will also have John Glennon coming up on the other side of the break. Once again, John Glennon, he is with BroadwaySportsMedia.com talking Titans as the Houston Texans come into town. And I'm a little surprised everybody go, Houston, 1-4. No big deal. Titans should roll. Not so fast. I'm kind of stunned with everybody's talking about no chance, no chance, no chance for the Houston Texans. We'll get in this conversation with John Glennon because you've got a dangerous team now with their backs against the wall. And, you know, it's just like what we talked about earlier this year when the Titans had to go on the road to take on Minnesota, a different scenario with Houston knowing their season is on the line. You know, they can't afford to fall further behind the Tennessee Titans as far as the AFC South. We'll also have a chance once again every Friday, 5:05, Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, and then Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. That's all coming up between now and 6. And once again, Braves baseball tonight, a chance for the Braves to punch their ticket to the World Series, leading the Dodgers 3-1, 7:50 for the pregame first pitch right around 8:08 or so tonight. All that still to come. On your way right here on National Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. They just moved this crash 65 northbound here at Metro Center at the Rosa Parks exit. I'll tell you, it's been crazy slow up through here in the last few minutes. The fire department's been dispatched to the 1200 block at Gallatin Pike in Madison on a crash with injuries. All the major outbound routes are really heavy right now. You're going to have to give yourself extra time. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Going on now through November 1st, all the fun details at obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
I'm on Dead Man's Bend at midnight when my gas light pops on. I see a gas station ahead. Just my luck. Or is it? I walk in. The attendant lifts a bony finger towards me and croaks, "You want a Halloween jumbo box?" I whisper it, terrified, "No." And as I leave, he asks the lady behind me. She says, "Okay." And then...
She wants $75,000!
Scare up some cash with the Halloween Jumbo Bucks Instant Game. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, head-raising fun. Please play responsibly.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. For this afternoon, there's a frost advisory in effect that'll expire at 8 a.m. on Saturday. Today we'll see sunny skies with highs at around 61 with a light wind out of the north. Tonight going down to 40 under clear skies. Saturday highs at around 68 with an east-northeast wind gusting to 14 miles an hour. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rich Brennan. Sports Radio,
call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Ray Dosky making sure everything runs smoothly. A little bit later, don't forget Barrett Lee will join us from Atlanta. We'll also get his thoughts on the Braves, but we'll talk college football with Barrett. He is with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. But right now, Tennessee Titans taking on the Houston Texans coming up Sunday afternoon. Kickoff just after noon at Nissan Stadium. John Glennon with BroadwaySportsMedia.com joins us now. John, hope you've had an interesting week and busy week, obviously, with the Tuesday night affair. But as always, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's been good to actually cover some football on the field again this week. So big change from the previous week, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm always interested in history, whether it's college football, NFL, and it was really, you know, intriguing to see, in Elias Sports Bureau came out with this, that a Tuesday night is only the third game since, 75 years? 1946, you have to go back to, as far as it was one of three games to be played on a Tuesday night. Back then, you were not around, and I wasn't either, but it was the New York Giants taking on the Boston Yanks, I guess because wow. Rain issues was the problem. And then we got the one where, remember, Minnesota had the issues with the blizzard, and I remember correctly, it was the one that messed up their roof. But they had a game rescheduled with the Eagles back in 2010. But it is strange, but here's the thing. Everybody wants to see the score, but I don't think they're reading into the score to the point where I'm telling everybody, pump the brakes, because Buffalo was off. And more importantly, Josh Allen was off as soon as he took the field on Tuesday night.
I think that's fair. You know, I think, you know, a few people in the press boxes we watched, we kind of made the comment that this looks a little bit more like the Josh Allen of old.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the kind of the superhuman Josh Allen that we'd see in the first part of this year. You know, there were some open receivers that he missed, and he looked a little bit confused at times too. But I think, you know, some of that credit at least has to go to the Titans defense and the Titans game plan. I think they did a pretty good job of confusing Josh Allen and making him go through, you know, numerous progressions and making him read against zone defenses, which he hadn't been doing a lot of. So I think, you know, again, some of the credit there has to go to the Titans, especially playing shorthanded, in the secondary as they were.
You know, and look, you look at the competition that Houston has played. So I look at their stats and I look at where they're ranked as far as amongst the 32 NFL teams. And my thing about them is throw it out the window. I mean, I don't see anybody else that has begun this year playing Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I mean, you see where I'm going with that. And so, you know, people are underestimating this Houston team now, especially that locker room is healing. It seemed like there certainly was some issues there with Bill O'Brien, and now that he's gone. Now this team is, you talk about teams like this, and from an emotional standpoint, it's like a burden's been lifted off of them.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, especially the type coach that Bill O'Brien was, you know, there was no doubt he had some success, certainly. But, you know, I think that kind of guy, the intensity, you know, the stern disciplinary and so forth, I think that kind of wears on a team, especially if you're not winning, you know, if you're not winning Super Bowls, I'll say. And I think it kind of wore on the Texans, and I think it had reached its limit. And what you get now is kind of an opposite of Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel, you know, a player's coach. You know, the word on him is he has great relationships with the players. He's making things fun again down there. You know, all kinds of players were quoted as saying they really enjoyed, you know, playing last week. And I think that came out in a pretty one-sided win over Jacksonville. So all of a sudden, yeah, I think, you know, Houston is a more dangerous team now. We know what Deshaun Watson is capable of doing. He's had some incredible games against the Titans in the past. And, you know, yeah, there's not a lot of pressure on these guys right now. That coaching situation is resolved. And, you know, I expect them to give the Titans an excellent game on Sunday.
Were you surprised? And I'm not sure if you've dived into where the Titans on defense rank amongst the other 31 teams. You know, there's only three teams worse than the Titans so far this season as far as yards being given up per game. They're ranked 29th in the NFL, and certainly a couple of areas that really stick out for me. They're allowing almost 5.5 yards per rush, which is last in the NFL. In addition, 60% as far as success rate on third down, that is also worst in the NFL as far as on defense. That kind of surprised me when I saw those numbers.
Yeah, well, both of them, I think, are two of the big areas that they have dropped from last year. I think they, if I'm recalling correctly, I think they were top 10 or top 12 in the run defense last year. And as you say, they've really fallen off on that, which is a bit of a surprise.
Is that where Jarrell Casey has missed really the most?
That was just where I was going. Yeah, I think that probably has something to do with Jarrell Casey not being there. You know, and we haven't seen, well, at least last game, we didn't see Simmons and Daquan Jones together. Maybe we'll see them together this game. But, yeah, in the third downs, just awful last week. I think 13 for 17 they gave up on third downs. And a lot of them, you know, these weren't necessarily third and ones or third and twos, but we're talking about, you know, third and nine, third and 11, third and even longer than that they were giving up. And that can't happen. And, you know, I think kind of the two things that have saved the Titans on defense right now, one, you know, is the takeaways. You know, they're number one in turnover ratio right now, and that's been a big key. And then also, you know, as much yardage as they have given up, they haven't necessarily given up a ton of points. I think they're still in the top 10 in points surrendered. So those are a couple of the silver linings, but clearly I think this is a team that needs more help on defense than it does on offense right now.
I mean, certainly when you see a matchup like this, you first think about Ryan Tannehill with the Titans and Deshaun Watson with Houston. But to me, this game will probably be won on who's more successful as far as running the ball, whether it's Derrick Henry and the Titans or David Johnson with Houston.
Could be, yeah. And I think, you know, this is kind of a promising game as far as the Titans are concerned in terms of running the ball. You know, to me, I think the Titans have been good for the most part running the ball, but not great, not like we saw them last year. I think this is a team, the Texans have struggled against the run. I think they're 31st against the run right now, and maybe this is the one where Derrick Henry can break out a little bit and get some more of those big chunk runs that we're used to seeing. Texans have not been very good running the ball, but last week maybe they showed a little bit of a flash there. You know, I think David Johnson ran for almost 100 yards last week. So, again, maybe we're seeing some Texans play a little bit looser starting last week, you know, under Romeo Crennel. And you know, I would look for them to improve and still kind of feeling that bounce, that surge you get with a new coach.
Yeah, and both of these teams, you mentioned how bad Houston is. There's only one team worse than them as far as rushing yards allowed per game. Both of these teams are in the bottom six, and, you know, the Titans may have been even a little bit worse if it wasn't for the fact that Buffalo was trying to play catch-up on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I agree. And as I say, it's been the run defense that has been the biggest drop off from last year. We're probably seeing a few things there. Like we mentioned, Jarrell Casey, that's been a big loss clearly for them. I'm not sure their inside linebackers, Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown, are kind of playing at the same level that we're used to seeing from them either. You know, I think they were kind of, coming into this year, I would say almost kind of blossoming stars, and I think there's still a lot of talent there, but I'm not sure we're seeing the kind of the impact plays, the ones that put the opponent behind the sticks. So I think those guys have to be better against the run game in order for the defense overall to improve.
I'm kind of amazed, too, that especially with Houston, with five games under their belts, they have yet to intercept their opponents through these first five games.
Oof, which does not bode well.
No, I mean,
that Ryan Tannehill has been only intercepted once so far this year. But, boy, you would think just a tip or a – one errant pass or anything like that, a bad bounce, somehow they'd get one interception by now. But yeah, that's a huge one. And it's as is the case almost every year, you look at the teams that are leading the league in takeaway ratio or turnover ratio, and they again are the best teams in the league. You see the Titans are up there. Seattle is up there. I think Pittsburgh, surprisingly enough, Cleveland, which is off to a great start, they're one of the teams that are up there too. That stat every year is so important, and as we mentioned earlier, I think that's one of the reasons the Titans have kind of gotten away with a defense that's not too good so far, is because they've at least come up with some turnovers and set the offense up with some short fields like we saw last week.
We go back to what happened Tuesday night, and here's the other thing, too. Buffalo, I thought that they went for their two-point conversion way too early. I mean, why kill your team's spirits? You're in no big hurry to go for the two in that situation. Yeah, you're going to have to go for it the next time you score a touchdown, but at that point, I didn't think that they needed to be chasing points. When it failed, forget about it. I didn't feel Buffalo had an opportunity at all to come back there in that fourth quarter. This game on Sunday, though, it just seems like what we have seen through the first three games of the Titans. Take Buffalo out of the equation, which means I think it comes down to a one-score game, most likely a field goal game. Your thoughts?
Certainly possible. Division game, and you're looking at a Texans team that maybe in some ways this is almost, even though it's only week six for them, almost a last stand in some ways in terms of maybe being in playoff contention. I mean, you can't write anybody off, but boy, 1-5 would be really difficult to come back from at this point. So in some ways, I wouldn't have said this going into the Buffalo game, but now that it's passed, I think this second game is almost more difficult for the Titans because of that short turnaround. They at least were, if nothing else, the Titans were well rested going into that game, and they were playing on adrenaline. And perhaps Buffalo walked in thinking that things weren't going to be too tough. But this is going to be even more difficult, I think, because of the physical grind of playing on a Tuesday and then playing on a Sunday, and just the fact that you have obviously 2 days less of preparation for a game than Houston did. So mentally it's going to be a difficult challenge as well. You have to pack all your preparation into a shorter amount of time than the Texans do.
Well, and plus, here's the thing, too. Houston, they get their first win of the season. It wasn't even close as they blew out Jacksonville last week, 30-14. And so they got a taste of that. And you're right. I think it kind of reminds me, this is the second time this year that, the Tennessee Titans are taking on a desperate team. They faced the same thing back in their third game when they were on the road taking on Minnesota, for example. And I think this is the same kind of scenario where this, to me, is probably Houston's season. They need to win this game. The Titans, yeah, they want to win, but they're not in that mode of, where the sense of urgency that the Texans find themselves in. But at the same time, at least from a teaching moment kind of standpoint, the Titans do have the Minnesota game to get the players' attention and talking about that desperate team that they're facing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know it came down to right at the end again for for the Titans in Minnesota. So, you know, really all they need to do is have Steven Goskowski kick another 3 field goals from 50-plus, and they'll be in no problem. But, you're right. It is a desperate team. But I think the good thing for the Titans here is that in some ways do you feel like they're almost kind of playing with house money here? I mean, coming into this 2-game swing after being – out of the facility for nearly 2 weeks, did any of us really expect them to go 2-0 in these games? I know I certainly would not have. And even if you lose, you're 4-1, and you've still got another home game with a chance to get another big AFC win the following week. So, obviously you want to win every game, but the Titans have really, to their credit, set themselves up pretty well that even if they stumble here, still in pretty decent shape, heading into Pittsburgh.
Well, and that's the most important thing, because you talk about Houston this weekend, then Pittsburgh got rescheduled, so that's coming up next weekend. And right now, the worst-case scenario, if you lose on Sunday, if you're the Titans, you still got at least a one-game lead over second-place Indianapolis. And there's no guarantee, Indianapolis having issues with some positive COVID-19 tests today, there's no guarantee Indianapolis beats Cincinnati. Cincinnati is one of these teams that you don't know what you're going to get with Joe Burrow. I mean, yeah, Indianapolis favored by 7.5 on Sunday, but that doesn't mean much when you're going up against a team that's just playing to get better week in and week out.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And it's been hard to kind of track Phillip Rivers too, he had the struggle in that first game, and then it seemed like he'd kind of leveled out and was looking sort of like the Phillip Rivers of old. But boy, it can be hard to watch sometimes when they go down by, a touchdown or two, and he's really in a forced situation trying to bring his team back. It's not pretty. It's the same kind of thing as we saw when he was with the Chargers too. So, I think the Colts have a lot of good things going for them. I think they're strong on both sides of the line, but I see some games from Phillip Rivers that leaves me kind of wondering, about how strong he is. So we'll see. But yeah, again, how many times did we hear the Titans here in the off season and during training camp saying the importance of a good start, because that hasn't always been the case here. And now we're seeing it. Even though they win the first 3 games by a total of 6 points, you're still 3-0, and now you're 4-0. And even if you have a game where it proves to be too tough to get that turnaround here in 5 days, all right, it's not the end of the world.
Always a pleasure. Let the listeners know again what they can expect with BroadwaySportsMedia.com.
Yes, indeed. Got to give Broadway Sports Media, the website, a look over there. Some great, great stuff, especially on the Titans. We got a lot of coverage, a lot of writers on the Titans, but we're also writing plenty about the Predators and Nashville FC as well. So give us a look at Broadway Sports Media. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, @GlennonSports.
John, thank you as always. Have a great night. I'll see you Sunday at the stadium. But until then, stay safe.
Okay, thanks, Johnny. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. John Glennon joining us with BroadwaySportsMedia.com. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk some college football. Barrett Salee, not only with CBSSports.com, he is a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Quite heavy here as they move an accident 40 eastbound here at Fessler's. It's over to the side. Just crazy slow at times out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Also, a crash being cleared 40 east up near Briley Parkway. It's also very heavy, but it's moving 65 down through Brentwood, Franklin. It really starts to slow now, 65 south through that part of Williamson County before you get into Spring Hill. Check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolansville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wines, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Chase Elliott did it again. His fourth road course win in a row at the Roval at Charlotte. Up next, the round of eight begins at Kansas Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Chase Elliott, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And listen to our podcast, The Final Lap Weekly, wherever you get your podcasts. Every single weekday right here.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. But right now, Barrett Salee, National College Football writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, first and foremost, for the A, go Braves.
Go Braves, man. Last night was awesome. This feels like the mid-90s, late 90s again. I'm so happy right now.
Yeah, let it be the mid-90s, not the late 90s. Let it be 95, okay? Let's just, because that's the only time. Yeah,
95 would be great. Or if you want to go 96, the first two games of the World Series, we can go that route too.
And we can go 57 if you want to go Milwaukee Braves. But yeah, those are the only two. Let's just dial those two up right there.
Sounds good. I wasn't alive in 57.
Well, I wasn't either, but that's all right. Because that's, you know, we're not talking about, I mean, just one World Series flag, 95. The team's been in Atlanta since 66. Do the math. Lean years, a lot of those years. Yeah, great that, you know, in the 90s you had all those division titles, but still only one World Series flag waving across the stadium.
Well, hopefully there's two, and man, it's been fun so far. Hopefully we get more of it.
Hey, by the way, you know, look, this is, you know, historic in that standpoint. A.J. Minter, you know, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, he is the first individual ever in Major League history to get his first start in a postseason game.
Well, we'll see if it's look, 2020 is full of firsts and full of anomalies. So, hey, you know what? We might as well go down that route.
Speaking of that, you know, earlier this week, Nick Saban, he goes home, self-quarantine, gets the positive test as far as COVID-19. Now there's thoughts that maybe that wasn't a true positive because he's tested negative since. He's, what, one negative away from being able to coach this game against Georgia tomorrow, if I read that correctly.
Well, two, because the one that was announced today was from yesterday.
Okay.
He's the appointed test, and he took another one today. That result has not been made public, and then, yeah, he'll take one tomorrow. As long as they're 24 hours apart and they're all negative, then yeah, he's coaching because he's always been asymptomatic. And if you have three PCR tests, according to the SEC rules, the rapid test that he tested positive for gets counted as a false positive. So, yeah, he's coaching, let's be honest.
Well, and we look at this matchup. I mean, here first, you got Nick Saban. He already has the record for most wins ever in college football history as a head coach against top five teams, best winning percentage against top five teams. So he's got 24 of those wins, 24-14. So he's been there, done that. And look, Kirby Smart, when you think about what he has done since the start of last year, 3-1 last year against top 10 competition. The only loss was to LSU in the SEC title game. And already this year, 1-0. So it to me, I really believe it's going to be a field goal type of game coming up on Saturday night.
See, I disagree with you because I still don't trust Georgia's offense. And I think Alabama's defense is better than what it showed last week against Ole Miss because Ole Miss used tempo. They have got a great offensive system with some really creative minds. That is what really bothers Alabama historically. What Georgia does doesn't bother Alabama, and I don't think it will on Saturday. And so I think what Alabama will do is they'll have enough success offensively to put pressure on Stetson and Bennett and make him score 30 points. And I just don't think he's got that in him.
But here's the thing. Nick Saban, he's been coaching a while, right, as far as college football, until Saturday, this past Saturday against Ole Miss. Never has he had an opposition give up, not just have one, but had two 100-yard rushers in the same game.
And, no, I know.
I mean, I know. So that's just why I'm throwing it out there. And Alabama's offense has yet to see a front what Georgia brings to the table as well on Saturday night.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, Georgia's defensive front's filthy, and we saw that, especially in the second half against Tennessee. But I still think that too much is made of Alabama's defensive struggles, and they will. I think that is more scheme based than it is scheme based as far as who they're playing, not scheme based or talent based as far as what is in between those balls of the Alabama football complex.
By the way, before I let you go, I do think a top five team is going down on Saturday, but it's not Alabama. I think Florida State will beat North Carolina and Tallahassee on Saturday if they play anything close to the way they played against Notre Dame last Saturday night.
I wouldn't be surprised, although I think North Carolina wins that game. I think it'll be close. That spread's ridiculous.
That's oh, like, what, 13, it's like 13 and a yeah. half, yeah.
Yeah, I just North Carolina's offense, while great, is going to struggle against Florida State's defense. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's close. I'd take North Carolina to win, but I do think, yeah, too much credit to North Carolina and maybe too much criticism of Florida State, just from a 40,000 foot view, from a casual fan view, and as a result, you see that line where it is.
Before we let you go, who's going to be what's going to be the biggest disappointment for a fan base over the weekend in college football?
Ooh, biggest disappointment, Georgia, because I think they'll lose by 10 or more.
Well, okay. We'll see how it plays out. Always a pleasure. Thank you for hopping on. I know it's a busy day for you, but we appreciate it. Have a great football weekend. And go Braves as well. I should say go Braves. All right. For the A, mix it up however you want to do it. But thank you again. That's Barrett Salee. If you're not doing so, you can keep up with Barrett on Twitter at Barrett Salee, National College Football Writer, with CBSSports.com. In addition, he's a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Open phones to the top of the hour if you'd like to weigh in. Which game has your attention this weekend? Which way are you leaning towards? Are you looking for another big shocker? What about Kentucky? I go back. You have to go back to 1984. 1984, the last time Tennessee lost to Kentucky in Knoxville. That's right. And besides that, in the series, Tennessee 33-2 against the Wildcats in the last 35 meetings. 615-844-5600. Hey, Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and then lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code FRANKS. That's right. Use promo code FRANKS so they know I sent you. And when you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code FRANKS to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Hey, look, when I first looked at the app, I was surprised how easy it is to navigate it, and it's so easy to use. You're going to certainly enjoy it. Here's a reminder, must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. And terms apply, so see sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Well, good afternoon. We're looking at a wreck in a crazy spot here. It looks like it may have some injuries on 40 eastbound right here at the South Loop at the 65 split. As you come out of downtown on 40 eastbound right now, passing Broadway to Mumbrium, you're going to hit this wall of traffic here trying to get to the split at the South Loop because of this wreck with injuries. Murfreesboro Pike and McGavick Pike, there's been a crash there. Look, it's Friday. Give yourself plenty of extra time. Celebrate autumn this year at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out at Obergatlinburg. Gatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
All right, now the Cup Series round of eight is kicking off this weekend at Kansas, and these are the drivers that will battle it out for four spots over the next three races. Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Kevin Harvick. Kansas on tap this weekend. This place is bad fast. In fact, it's one of the top 10 fastest tracks. Clint Bowyer is going to have his last go around as a full-time driver at his home racetrack this weekend. It's a 1.5-mile oval, banking up to 20 degrees. Front stretch is 2,680 feet, backstretch 2,207. The Cup race is 267 laps for 400 miles. Stages weigh in at 80, 160, and then 267. Last year's winner was Denny Hamlin, and the winner of the July race of this year was Denny Hamlin as well. Check out all the action from Kansas Speedway Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. A.J. Allmendinger talks about how he's helping his teammates throughout the playoffs.
Well, I mean, if you look at Justin and Ross, I mean, they've been fantastic this year. They have so much talent. They get everything they can out of these college racing Chevys. I just try to watch on TV. I'm constantly texting Chris and Matt, like, what I see. I hope it helps. And, you know, with those two, with Justin and Ross specifically, I mean, if they have questions, they know I'm an open book. I can't give them a lot of advice. They're out there doing a great job and winning races themselves.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. Like us.
Ready to take on that painting project? Ask Sherwin-Williams and get 40% off paints and stains with sale prices starting at $23.09 October 16th through 19th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains, you can give some color love to your bathroom, living room, or every room in your home. Shop in-store or order online for curbside pickup. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's Macy's lowest prices of the season with 40 to 60% off the looks you'll love for fall. And save on great specials like a dazzling new piece of diamond or gemstone jewelry from Effie and more. Now 60 to 65% off. And get ready for cooler nights ahead with 65% off all new Charter Club and Damask Design sheets and bedding. Going on now at Macy's. Plus, contact-free curbside pickup is now available. Find a location near you at macys.com/stores. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, our weekly visit with handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. Clay in Nashville, welcome.
Hey, Johnny, how are you this afternoon?
I am awesome. Looking forward to a great weekend of football.
What do you think, Johnny, about the has there been any news with Nick Saban, you know, testing positive? Has there been any?
Yes, he's got his first negative from yesterday. Now, if he can get two more in a 24-hour period of time, I think the protocol says, and so he's already been tested. We don't know the results of that second test. But he'll have the opportunity to test negative once again today and over this 24-hour period of time. And if he tests negative, then he will be able to coach tomorrow.
So that game is a go, probably.
Well, yeah, it looks like now that maybe it was a false positive because he's already got the one negative. So, you know, we'll know and we'll see when we get the results. So far, no word as far as what has occurred today as far as from a testing standpoint, whether it's negative or positive.
I was just curious, you know, Johnny, because, you know, of course, the Missouri-Vandy game is postponed, the Florida game is postponed. I guess they still shut down football activities, correct?
Right. Florida is shut down, and that's why that game gets moved to December 12th. And of course, Vanderbilt, Missouri, because of Vanderbilt's escalated cases, they were barely able to play last Saturday against South Carolina. But Vanderbilt off next week. You know, they're not slated to play again until the 31st against Ole Miss.
Johnny, I was really concerned switching to baseball. And you kind of set it up. George Plaster did too. But, you know, the Braves really got their butts kicked in the third game. But I think the way they bounced back last night, you know, that just shows that this is a team that's tired of losing in the postseason.
Well,
I truly believe the Atlanta Braves are going to be your World Series champion. I believe that. And, you know, I'm a Braves fan, so I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. What's the pitching matchup tonight?
Well, this is what the Braves are sending out. They're sending out somebody who's making his first career major league start. And in fact, it's the first time in baseball history that a individual starts a postseason game. His first career start is in the postseason. But AJ Minter, will get the mound. And here's the thing. He has not pitched two full innings ever in his 144 career appearances. So for me, this just sounds like the Braves are going to try to manufacture, a pitching performance. So look for AJ Minter, look for Josh Tomlin, possibility of Kyle Wright making showing up. This may be one of these things where the Braves, an inning here, inning there, and let's see what they can come up with.
Have a great weekend, Johnny. Go Braves.
Hey, go Braves. I appreciate that. I feel good about I don't want to say World Series just yet and winning it all. I just want to get there because I still go back. It's been 1999, the last time the Braves actually made it to a World Series. And during the 90s, by the way, they only made it five times. So all those years, you know, 14 straight years of top, as far as winning division titles, only five World Series appearances during that time frame. And only one to show for it. And so I just want to get there. Just like yesterday, I was talking about the fact that all I want to get is to a third win. Just get me to the third win. And the fact that it happened last night. And the interesting thing, as I was talking about this earlier, things that were trending last night, you know, sometimes social media is like a day behind with everybody making comments about whatever happened. And they were just talking about, you know, what a great job the Dodgers did in that game three with 11 runs, making history in the top of the first, while the Braves were doing their own thing, exploding last night in that game and blowing out the game. And the difference between last night and Tuesday night, the Braves never allowed the Dodgers to breathe any kind of life. And so full credit. And how about Bryce Wilson? Allowed only one hit. That was a home run. That was it. You know, so here he is making his first postseason start, Bryce Wilson. Everybody goes, I don't know about the Braves tonight. This is going to be, especially going up against somebody like Clayton Kershaw. But Bryce Wilson allowed only one hit, one walk, the one run, which was the home run, striking out five, and he gave the Braves the opportunity. As I have been saying before game one, you know, let this be a tight game in the through six, get to the final three innings. If the Braves are in a game where they're within one with three innings to go, I like the Braves' chances with those bats, and I like the fact I like the Braves' bullpen better than I do the Dodgers. And so that's what we've been seeing. I didn't see it in game three, obviously, because of the blowout win by the Dodgers, but that's all right. By the way, we will have the game, don't forget, 7:50 for the pregame coverage. First pitch right around 8:07, 8:08. All the action right here. Don't even want to talk about the weekend. Just want to think about tonight. And by the way, the game six on the American League side, as far as their championship series, that will get underway in the 5 o'clock hour. Tampa Bay trying to end Houston's two-game winning streak and punch their ticket into the World Series for next week. All right, coming up on the other side, our weekly visit with handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk Vols. We'll talk Alabama, Georgia. All that coming up with Lee Sterling on the other side. You're listening to Nat Radio.